actually, if we saw ourselves as God saw us, and if we understood how much he loves us and cares for us, then I do think part of that comparison would begin to dissipate.
Hey guys, welcome back to the YA podcast. We're back. This is another one of these kind of one-off summer episodes, which we are excited to be recording. Wherever you're listening, if you're in the garden, in the car, in the living room, in the bath maybe, if you're on your own, if you're with headphones on, you are welcome to be listening to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Matt. You may recognize my voice from the second season. Despite all the negative feedback, they've allowed me to do another one. That's a joke, to clarify. The feedback was normal. And I'm joined by Susan. Susan, would you introduce yourself? Who are you? Why are you here? What did you do?
Hello, everyone. Hi, I'm Susan. I'm currently doing the discipleship year here. So I'm on Zoe. I'm on the student and young adult stream. I'm one half of the student stream. Yeah, happy to be here. Honoured to have been asked to be on the podcast. I love the sound of my own voice. So this is absolutely wonderful to be here.
That's great. And what has been the highlight of Zoe so far? We want to know.
Gosh, what's been the highlight? I mean, it's an honour to serve the kingdom and serve his church. Like, that's got to be up there as one of my many highlights. But apart from serving, which I absolutely love to do.
Because now this sounds scripted.
No, absolutely not. I promise I've not been paid to say this. I love to serve. But probably highlight was launch weekend, where we went somewhere with lots of fields and countryside scenery, which was just really lovely because being a city girl from London, I don't get to go into the countryside much. So it was actually really nice to breathe some clean air.
That's crazy that the highlight was the first bit. So it's been downhill since then. But anyway,
I didn't actually say that, but yeah.
let's get on to what we're actually talking about today, which I realise I haven't even said yet. So if you've clicked off, then fair enough. But we are talking about comparison today. So without further ado, I'm just going to pray and we'll get right into it. So, yeah, dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity today to chat a bit about comparison. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and fill me and Susan right now as we talk, and that you would bless the things we say, and that this little episode would be helpful for people listening, and that your kingdom would just come in our church and our community. Amen.
So let's jump straight into it. So what is comparison? Well, according to Google, comparison is when you consider two or more things and discover the differences between them. But Matt, what would you say comparison is to you?
Well, I think for me, when we were thinking about this and I thinking about comparison, like the first thing that comes to mind is just like almost very direct comparisons. I guess a classic one is like you compare Messi and Ronaldo. Who's the GOAT? Is it Messi? Is it Ronaldo? You pull up their stats, goals, assists, games played, trophies. It's like you're looking at these two things, putting them next to each other, and you're saying, what is the separation between them? Okay, they're both very good, but what is the difference? What's the point there? Obviously, as much as I'd love to do a full episode talking about that, we probably won't. but yeah, that's for me, that's like comparison, is you look at two things and you are directly comparing them. But yeah, what about you, Susan? What is comparison to you?
I feel like definitely the same. I think for me, comparison can be a bit more abstract in the sense that it's not always two things like directly, like two specific objects or people. But it can also just be comparing like stages of life and achievements, and then just comparing it against like your own and where you're at. Yeah.
Sure. And yeah, I think we're definitely aware that comparison can cover like a broad range of things, very specific things, maybe more trivial sporting things. But as you were saying, Susan, a lot of maybe more kind of deep and social things. Mm-hmm. So I guess probably for the sake of this podcast, just to kind of define it before we get proper into it, I guess we're probably going to be talking about like comparison in a more negative way. We'll chat about the end about whether comparison can be positive. So, you know, stay listening for that one. But I think, yeah, we're more going to be talking about comparison to other people in a negative way when we compare ourselves to others around us. So I guess the thing to say is that we do compare, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
It can feel maybe natural. We all live in a world where we do things. We all spend our time doing stuff, and hence we have jobs, we earn money, we have friends, we have family, we have hobbies, we have salaries, we have all these things. And because we're surrounded with people that also have all these things, it's just kind of almost natural, understandable that we spend time looking at what we do and then looking at what other people do. Do you think that's fair, Susan?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I can think of, like, for all the graduates that are just about to graduate, how easy it is to compare in that stage of life. Like, oh, I've just graduated, but this person's going on to this high-paying job and I'm going back home, or I'm not doing something as exciting as this person. Like, it's so easy and so natural. And we might not even necessarily think that it's a bad thing, but it's something that is just, it comes up in conversation so often that, yeah, we all engage in it.
And I guess often the temptation can be to think that because something is natural, then it's fine, it's okay, everyone does it. I think, yeah, I guess what we're going to delve into in just a sec is that even though it is understandable, natural to an extent, it doesn't mean it's inherently good, and it often leads to dangerous things. And yeah, I guess there's one thing observing a difference. There's one thing saying, oh, I'm wearing shoes, you're wearing slippers. That's a comparison on our footwear. But I think
I'm actually not wearing slippers, disclaimers. I'm promise you, I'm wearing trainers.
That was just a random example. We're both wearing shoes. But yeah, the point is that it can be about things that are a bit deeper than that, I guess, which can just get us to question a lot of things about ourselves. So yeah, let's get into some of the things that we think are dangerous about comparison. Susan, do you want to lead us into that?
Absolutely. I think Christian or non-Christian, I think we can all safely say that comparison can be quite unhealthy. And whilst in and of itself, it's not inherently sinful, it can lead us down to an unhealthy path, and can lead us into sin. It can lead us into feelings of jealousy and envy and unrighteous anger. And actually, if we can, acknowledge where the comparison is leading us, then actually we can nip it in the bud, because it can definitely lead us down some unhealthy habits. But yeah, it might not even always be so obvious, but actually if you find yourself always comparing yourself to maybe a friend you have, and every time you do that, you find yourself getting more and more envious or more and more jealous, it's like, actually, that's a problem, and it's important to recognize it so you can do something about it.
And I think those sorts of negative emotions often just fester and kind of lead into lots of other kind of negative emotions. As you say, like, if there's one thing, just like an observational difference, right? But then when you start to feel a certain way about it, and you notice that you feel that way a lot of the time, it just keeps on leading onto other stuff. Whereas, as you say, you can just start to, like, actually resent that friend. I mean, as Yoda famously said, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, hate leads to suffering.
Yoda definitely famously said that.
But I think some of the ways kind of we had jotted down that we think comparison kind of leads to that, and these are kind of it's not an exhaustive list, but just some of the ways in which we can fall into comparison in kind of a subtle way, I guess. It's not always going to be blatantly obvious, is number one, maybe aspiring to be like someone else that isn't Jesus. So I guess, obviously, we live in a bit of a celebrity culture anyway, but this could be someone that's not a celebrity, just someone that's quite normal that you idolize or just want to try and be like. So someone that you see maybe at church, or someone you work with, or a friend, or a friend of a friend, they're just like, oh, I wish I was more like so-and-so. I wish I looked more like them. I wish I acted like them. And in that moment, obviously, you are comparing yourself to them in a way that you're not satisfied with yourself.
Absolutely. And I think comparison doesn't always have to be against like someone else or something that someone else has, but it can also be with a version of yourself or like a younger version of yourself. Maybe with the instance of like, oh, 5 years ago, I was so much smarter, so much healthier, I was so much more successful, whatever it is you're comparing yourself against. But it's that looking at yourself in the past and looking at what you had and what you were capable of, and kind of almost being stuck in that mindset of, oh, I wish I was back there again, instead of like growing and looking forward to the future and what God has planned for you next, as opposed to being bogged down by the past.
And then the next one we've got is thinking you're better than others, or thinking you're worse than others. And I think that very much does go both ways. you can compare up or compare down. Mm. And the truth of the matter is, there will always be people that are better off than you and people that are worse off than you. So I think that you can very easily, hence, compare either way. You can look at people and be like, oh, I wish I had their house. I wish I had their job, their car. I wish I had their friendships, their relationships, and hence be comparing in that way. Mm. Or you can compare downwards and be like, gosh, I'm so glad I don't have their X, Y, Z, and I'm so glad I'm not like that. And I think the important thing is neither of those things is helpful for you, because one just enhances this idea of yourself as having not much worth, and it's very damaging for the self-esteem. And the other one is just so obviously prideful. Mm. And leads to just like arrogance. And then, yeah, as we said, a lot of these like stuff like low self-esteem and pride leads to either way jealousy, bitterness, resent, all these things that come as a direct nature of comparison, which I guess is the point we're trying to make, that it's dangerous, and that it's one thing comparing, but when it comes into a greater thing and leads you into all these things, then you're in a bit of a pickle, aren't you?
Absolutely. And I think one of the funny things about comparison is that it can cause problems that didn't exist in the first place. Like it can cause you to now become dissatisfied with something that you're actually quite happy with to start with. For example, you could have a 2-bedroom house and a puppy, and you think everything's dandy and rosy and you're really happy. But then your neighbour moves in next door and actually they've got a 5-bedroom mansion with a water fountain, 10 cars, and their dog is bigger than yours and prettier than yours and whatnot. And it's like, actually, you were very happy with your 2-bedroom house and your puppy, but because you saw what your neighbour had, suddenly you became dissatisfied with what you had. It's like, actually, it can cause problems and feelings that didn't need to arise in the first place.
I mean, it just makes me think of the parable of the labourers in the vineyard. Just get some Bible in the podcast. Shame it's 10 minutes in, but oh well. It's a great parable, obviously. To summarize it briefly, it's in Matthew 20 if you want to go read it. But essentially, there's an owner of a vineyard who gives some people, they agree to give him one silver coin to work throughout the vineyard for the day. And then essentially, as the day goes on, he keeps on finding more people to come and work in the vineyard for the day for one silver coin. And at the end of the day, as agreed, everyone gets their silver coin, even though some people have worked for the whole day and some people have only worked for an hour. And obviously the people that have worked for the whole day are kind of complaining, they're not happy with it. And the owner of the vineyard is like, well, we agreed that you'd have your silver coin, and at the start of the day you were happy with that. So it doesn't actually really affect you that someone else is getting a silver coin for less work. Which I think is exactly what you're saying, Susan. in isolation, this worker that had been there for the whole day was absolutely completely happy with a silver coin, and you could be completely happy with your house.
Yep.
But suddenly, on seeing what someone else has, or that it's not fair because they've got it better than you, or they've got more money than you, or whatever, suddenly you're not satisfied with what you have, which is the crux of it. If you spend your whole life looking at what everyone else has, you are guaranteed to find yourself struggling with comparison.
Yeah.
And I guess, yeah, we're going to talk a bit in a sec about how to combat comparison, but if comparison always comes out of a place of not being satisfied with the self, then well, you're going to experience it a lot, because there will be plenty of opportunities where you realize that people have more than you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think comparison as a thing within the church is so easy. I think the church community is great and it's incredible, and it's so important to have people around you to uplift you and build you up, but I think it can also be very easy to get caught up in that and start to look at people and almost be envious, like, oh, I wish I was as wise as this person. I wish I was as well known as this person. I wish I was on the stage like this person is, or I wish I was serving like this person is. I think it's very easy to get caught up in the bubble and start feeling things like envy and jealousy. So I think it's also important to just be aware that actually comparison also exists within the church. Like, as Christians, we're not immune to it.
Well, it's an environment where people have giftings. Obviously, everyone has different giftings, but church is often a place where everyone gets to showcase their giftings and like you have some amazing speakers speaking, you have some amazing singers singing, you have people that are able to use their gifts in such obvious ways. So it can be very easy to sit there and think, hang about, I can't sing, I can't do public speaking very well, like I'm useless here, which to say is obviously an incorrect comparison, but we all have our giftings, but some are just more visible and susceptible to comparison than others. Have you got any examples, maybe, Susan, of where you've found comparison hard in the past?
I think for me, I've always grown up and slightly struggled with my identity, and like longing for a relationship is something that I've always wanted, and like seeing people around me get into relationships, get engaged, get married, and all these things, and always feeling like I'm almost like behind in life, like I need to catch up to them. Unfortunately, I took that all to God. Still working on it, but I think it's important to recognize these feelings as they arrive, and it's like, actually, what's the root of this comparison? That, clearly there's something I need to work on and take to God, and actually talking to him about it has been really helpful, because I've been able to just work through it and not let it fester, essentially.
And I think, yeah, that's great. And it just takes us basically straight on to talking about tools against comparison. I guess if we view it as almost a given that at some point in our lives, all of us will find it hard, we'll have a comparison that we find difficult. I guess what we want to do, if possible, is equip you guys best to how to deal with it. And I think the first thing I would say is that there is no quick fix, as you were just saying. You didn't become aware of it and just click your fingers and it went away.
Yeah, sorry guys, I'm still working on it.
Yeah, there really is no quick fix, unfortunately. So we're going to maybe outline some ways that you can help yourself. But when, as we've just talked about, where it comes from being kind of such a heart issue, and coming from such a place where you are just so dissatisfied with the self and not content, then actually the solution to it will be also quite deep in a work in your heart, which obviously we all invite the Holy Spirit to come and be working in our hearts to change that. But yeah, I think often that's not at the click of a fingers. So don't be expecting that unless a miracle happens, which we believe can happen. But
amen.
Anyway, I'm getting too bogged down in whether it can't happen. Susan, talk to us. What are the tools that we use? What is our sword against comparison? Let's go.
Well, number one, count your blessings. I think it's very easy to, I guess comparison stems from, I guess, feeling dissatisfied with what you have, looking at what someone else has or the way someone else is and wishing you were like that or wishing you had what they had. And actually, if we counted our blessings and reflected on the goodness of God in our own lives, then it would be so much more easy to be grateful and thankful for what you have as opposed to looking at what someone else has. I think it's very easy to look at the goodness of God in someone else's life rather than the goodness of God in your own life. And it's like, actually, God has been so faithful to each and every one of us. And it's important to sit back and reflect on the ways that he's been good to us as well, as opposed to only looking at the ways he's been good to other people. Because if you're just focusing on that, it can be very easy to miss the blessings and the ways he's provided in our own lives.
100%. We're singing this song at church a lot at the moment called Gratitude. And the lyrics are like, how can I express all my gratitude? We should be, well, and hopefully are, so grateful for everything the Lord has done for us. And I think that, yeah, you hear people say all the time about the more you practice gratitude as a practice, the more you become aware of.
Absolutely.
It's like if you actually look around you for things to be grateful for in the morning, in the evening, whenever, then you become more aware of things that you maybe weren't aware of before. If you don't look, you're not gonna find the things and see. So in an area where you may struggle to be grateful for things, or to, when you're looking at other people for what they have, you do just have to look at what you have. Yeah, that's a great one. And then I think the second one, I don't really know what to call this, but I guess kind of acknowledging it's a journey and thinking about the small things you can do to kind of make that journey easier. So for example, if this is like a person that you are maybe rather jealous of or comparing yourself to in a negative way, then you might just need to get to know that person a bit more, and start to love them and care for them. And even, I mean, this might sound crazy, but maybe even talk to them about this. Maybe even tell them how you feel if they're someone you feel close enough to. And even pray for them and pray for yourself and pray for them. Speak blessings over them in your quiet times. Mm. Like, not that you'd want them to be an enemy, but the Bible does say to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, and not that someone you compare to is necessarily directly persecuting you, but if you're finding that this person hard, then pray for them. Mm. And I think part of the journey as well, and maybe this might not be the person specifically, but tell a friend that you are struggling with this, because as we said earlier, the more these negative emotions kind of fester within you, the more you don't acknowledge them to someone else, then they will just continue to develop and become more of a thing. Mm-hmm. You have to talk to a friend, and hopefully you guys listening can think of someone that you might trust to talk to about this. Hopefully if you guys have some good friends, you can just have a little conversation about it. They can give you some helpful advice and even just take a bit of the burden off yourself that you're carrying. I remember for me, sometime in the last, whenever I was having a bit of a struggle with this, and I just sat a friend down and we talked about it, and I did just feel much better afterwards. And it wasn't the snap of the fingers click solution. It didn't make me not find it hard, mm-hmm. but just even being able to talk to someone about it, it made it easier, albeit not solving it on the spot. But as we say, it's a journey, and it's part of a heart journey. And someone that you can talk to can tell you to, oh, I understand how you've struggled with this, how you've come to this conclusion, but mm-hmm. I assure you that you don't need to worry about this sort of thing. So I think that's something that I've found helpful, and hopefully you guys would as well.
Absolutely. Like you said, it's important to actually love the person that's the object of your comparison. Get to know them, pray for them, speak blessings over them. And I think it's important to acknowledge, whilst that prayer initially might not come natural to you, might feel a bit awkward, but actually as you do it more and more, your heart for them will only increase, your love for them will only increase. And I think it's such an important thing to practice, that actually if you catch yourself comparing yourself to whoever it may be or whatever it may be, it's like, actually, instead, I'm not gonna let the enemy use this for evil. I'm not gonna let this fester as something that builds into like rage and anger, but actually I'm going to choose to stop in this moment and pray, and be like, actually, I thank God for this person. I thank God for the way you've blessed them and X, Y, Z. And as you continue to do that, that will only soften your heart. And leading into that, the third thing, as you pray for whoever is the object of your comparison, actually just pray to God. Prayer is something that we have in our tool belt that we've got access to 24/7 whenever we want. And actually we can take these things to God. Like, we don't have to let these emotions build inside us alone and then let it bubble into something else. Like, actually we can be real and we can be honest with God. Like, actually, hey, I'm really struggling. I see this person has this and I feel like I would like this, or I would like to grow in this area, or whatever it may be. And actually it's okay to take these things to God. Like, he wants to hear about it. And I think part of the comparison comes from thinking someone else has it better off than you. But actually we are all children of God. We are all children of the Most High, and he loves each and every one of us individually. And it's like, actually, if we saw ourselves as God saw us, and if we understood how much he loves us and cares for us, then I do think part of that comparison would begin to dissipate. Like it says in the Bible, it says in Romans 12, verses 4-5, "For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Like, actually, we're all created with different giftings, different skills, and different abilities. And that's not a bad thing. Like, it's a thing to be celebrated. We all bring different things to the table, and actually God has blessed each and every one of us with individual personalities and traits and skills, and actually that's a thing to celebrate and be happy about, because if we were all the same, then that wouldn't be very helpful.
And yeah, with this image that the Bible just paints throughout about the church being the body of Christ and about like everyone having a different role to play in that, even in 1 Corinthians 12, there's kind of a almost like comedic little passage about it's like the eye doesn't say to the hand, like, I'm useless because I'm not you. Like, the eye serves a very different role to the hand. I might have butchered that. I don't necessarily have it in front of me. But essentially the point being from that 1 Corinthians 12 bit is that different parts of the body don't, I guess, deem themselves as useless because they don't do the same role as another part of the body.
Yeah.
Like, if the whole body was a foot, then, well, it'd be able to walk all right, but it wouldn't be able to do much more. So yeah, in that way, in our comparison, you just can't compare yourself to someone else because you're literally made to do something different to they are.
Absolutely.
We're all God's children, but the beauty of it is that we're all uniquely made.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you put it like that, I mean, if you take one thing away from the podcast, if you boil it down, it probably all comes down to that. You're not meant to be someone else because you're meant to be yourself, almost in your comparison to someone else.
Mm.
It's almost like a way of saying, oh God, you created me wrong.
Mm.
It's all like, that's exaggeration for effect there. But when you say, I wish I was like that person, what you're almost saying, like, subconsciously is, God, when you created me, you messed up because you should have made me like them because they're better than me.
Mm.
Which I think hopefully we can all agree that is a wrong narrative, but you wouldn't say that to God, would you? You wouldn't say that God was wrong when he created you. He messed up. He made a mistake. That's not true. So maybe when you are next, find yourself subconsciously comparing, maybe that might be a helpful way to think of it, that in your comparison, you're saying that God was incorrect or making a mistake in his making of you, which we know to not be true.
Mm.
And one last thing to say on a tool against comparison, you've got to help yourself out. And so if you think about it, where do you struggle with comparison and where can you make sure that you don't kind of get to that point where you struggle with it? So
yeah,
for example, if you're on social media and that is what causes you to compare, then get off social media. It's not hard. This was back in, I can't remember when it was, maybe like 2019 when I was at uni.
Mm.
And I cringe looking back at my, like, the stuff I would put on Instagram. But like, in all honesty and genuinely, I would post stuff because I cared too much what people would think about me. And I would see stuff that other people would post and I'd be like, oh, that's cool, I'm going to post something like that. And it cringes me out how much I'd like monitor even like how many likes I would get and stuff like that.
Mm.
I think I must have just been off social media for like maybe like a year or so, because I was just like, well, it's not helpful for me. I'm not posting because I want to update people in my life. I'm posting because I want people to see what I'm doing and think, yeah, that guy's pretty cool.
Mm.
So and if you look at other people's posts and you're not like, oh, that's so nice that so and so's had a baby. If you're looking at it and being like, oh, I wish I had a baby, or I wish I did that, then literally just get off it. What are you doing? Help yourself out.
It's such an obvious thing as well, but I think sometimes we can be our own worst enemies and we let the things fester that shouldn't. Like, I think there was a point in my life where like influencers, celebrity culture, and I'd follow these people on Instagram, and whenever I'd see their posts, I'd just be filled with such rage and just such envy, like, oh, I wish I had that, or my life would be so much better if I had this, this, and that. And so actually, I can just unfollow them, like actually make my own life easy. Like, I don't need to be engaging in things that I know are actively going to upset me, actively going to take me away from seeing the goodness of God. It's like, if I have the control to do something about it, then just do it. Like, truly just do it.
There we go. We've got to help ourselves out, guys. When you know what makes it difficult for you, when you know what you struggle with, put things in place to stop it, because I mean, you can't do everything, but you can do what you can do.
Mm.
There we go. Right, Susan, we're on the last section. We're talking about, are there good comparisons? Yes or no? Go.
Yes. I would say there are good comparisons. Like, the Bible talks about like imitating people that actually aren't Jesus. Like, Paul talks about, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Philippians 3:17 says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. And actually, I think there is a way to do comparison well. I think there's a way to do it so it motivates you to be a better person, a better Christian, a better friend, brother, sister, whatever it may be. So yeah, I would say it's possible to do it well.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think I look at Christian friendships I have and have guys that spur me on to be a better disciple, and that can be through like a little slice of comparison. Oh, I see that my friends are doing this really well, and I'm like, oh, I want to join them in that because I want to be doing this really well as well. And I guess that's a kind of healthy comparison. I'm not resenting them for doing something better than me. I'm not annoyed about it, but I guess you kind of, classic as iron sharpens iron, like that is almost like a bit of comparison there. And I think, as you say, comparison to some of the standards set in the Bible or to Jesus' standard. Well, I don't think the idea there is to look at Jesus and say, oh gosh, I'm comparing myself to this Jesus guy, but I'm never going to be as good as him. So like, I'm feeling really down in the dumps about that. Mm. Well, that's obviously not the vision there. I think there's a difference between aspiration and comparison. Mm. So we aspire to be more like Jesus. That's the goal. But that doesn't mean we have to feel worse about ourselves when we find it hard to live up to the standard that he set. I think, I don't know, you just got to be honest with yourself about your intentions. And I think no one knows where your heart is more than you do. So I think we are the best judges for ourselves about where we are with kind of the line between aspiration and comparison and improvement and that sort of thing. Do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's just, we have to be real with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. And actually, if you've got a friend who's really talented in an area and you look at that friend like, actually, yeah, I really see that gifting in them and I would love to be gifted in that same way. And that encourages you in a way that's positive and that spurs you on to also grow in that gifting, wonderful. But if that comparison then leads you to resent or be envious over that friend, then actually take a step back. So I think it's just important to be self-aware about essentially what path is that comparison leading you down.
There we go. You heard it here first from Susan, 2023.
You're so welcome, guys.
we're just about wrapping up, guys, for this episode. We've got some action points as well to take away, which we'll just cover briefly. I mean, they're pretty standard. If you're struggling with this, what should you do, Susan?
Talk to someone and talk to God.
Brilliant. If you're not struggling with this, brilliant.
Learn to practice gratitude anyway.
And if you may be the object of comparison, be sensitive, you know. If someone you know is struggling with something, comparison with you, and you know what it is, maybe it's just a bit obvious or they've told you, don't bang on about that thing the whole time. Because just stop.
Probably not very helpful, actually. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not thinking about anything specific genuinely, but I'm sure maybe listeners can think of a time where this might have happened to you. If you know that someone might be struggling with something that you've got, don't bring it up all the time, honestly. I think that's the closing message, really. Susan, do you want to pray us out?
Absolutely. Lord, I just want to thank you for your goodness in each and every one of our lives. I want to thank you for the way you've provided and just been there for each and every one of us. And I just pray for those listening to this right now, for those who may be struggling with comparison or feelings of envy and jealousy, I just pray they would know how much you love them, and that I pray that they would know their identity in you and who you've made them to be. And I pray that where those feelings of jealousy or envy arise, that they'd actually be able to stop and reflect and just bring these feelings to you and know your truth over their life. I just pray all this in your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, thanks for listening. I hope you have enjoyed this episode talking about comparison, and all being well, we should have one final episode being released this summer as part of this little one-off episodes / mini-series. So keep your eyes open for that.
It's going to be a good one. Stay tuned, guys.